So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 24 and verse number 183 on forward. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanva Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic as usual. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Please accept the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So, we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 24, text number 183. This is a chapter titled Mahaprabhu instructing Sanatana Goswami on the 64 explanations of the Atma Ramasya verse. Matsevaya Pratitam Te Salokyadi Chatutsayam. Nechanti sevaya purna kutonyat kala viplutam. Translation and purport the Isvayan Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation. My devotees, having fulfilled their desires by serving me, do not accept the four kinds of salvation that are easily earned by such service. Why then should they accept any pleasures that are lost in the course of time? This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.67 for our own purification and to get Srila Prabhupada's perspective. I will read that purport from Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.67. Srila Bilvamangala Thakura has estimated the value of liberation as follows. Mukti Swayam Mukilatanjali Sevate Sman Dharmartakama Gataya Samaya Pratiksha. Bilvamangala Thakura realized that if one develops his natural devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukti stands before Him with folded hands to offer all kinds of service. In other words, the devotee is already liberated. There is no need for him to aspire for different types of liberation. The pure devotee automatically achieves liberation even without desiring it. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namahum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Matsevaya pratitam te salokyadi chatutsayam. Nechanti sevaya purna kuto nyatkala viplutam. My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, although they are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to higher planetary systems? So it is a very interesting point that Mahaprabhu is referring over here. Mahaprabhu was talking about dhriti. The word dhriti in the usage of Atma Ramasya verse. And he says, what is the real intelligence? And it's very interesting to note that the real intelligence is explained very scientifically by Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami by referring this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is from Ambarish Maharaj's pastime. Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni are two wonderful personalities. Both of them are great, accomplished personalities. But then, Ambarish Maharaj's position is glorified than Durvasa Muni, because of the way Ambarish Maharaj conducted himself. In our devotional journey, because of the nature of this process, we are blessed, bestowed with so many wonderful results. And these results are beginning to manifest right from the first day of our Krishna consciousness. But an intelligent person is the one who knows to conduct himself very well, not to get distracted, not to get affected, influenced, but remain steadfastly focused for the net result. Sometimes the intermediary results are seemingly so attractive and captivating and convincing that we tend to forget the ultimate goal. So Mahaprabhu is explaining about dhriti, the intelligence, by explaining that a person who is properly situated is not interested in four principles of liberation: salokya, sarupya, samipya, sarshti. Of course it is five, but then sayujya is not even brought here, because Sayujya is no way closer to even the spiritual concept. It is completely about spiritual suicide. So that is why it's not even spoken here. So in the next 45 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, we are going to churn this particular shloka from the perspectives of the opportunities and good fortune we are bestowed with through some sets of reflections. The first one, Tyaktva Turnamateshamandalapati Shrenim Sadatuchava Bhutva Dina Ganesha Kaukarunaya Kaupina Kantashtau. Srinivas Acharya is very nicely glorifying Goswamis. One of the aspects of Goswamis that they are glorifying is about their propensity to reject every possible accomplishment in their life. Tyaktva Turna Masesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sada Tuchavar. The way they rejected is the way somebody will renounce their wastes. When we pass stool, we don't have any attachment. Oh my God, I renounced something or gave up something. When I throw away some garbage, we are not crying and we think that I threw away some garbage. Tuchavar. The way Goswami is rejected is not giving any importance to the so-called achievements. And in turn, what they did? Bhutva adina ganesha kau karunaya kaupina kantashritau. They took over the life of complete mendicant, wearing loin cloths and wandering places only for self-realization and to win more and more souls to this process. So in the process of Krishna consciousness, as we discussed last class when I was there 15 days before in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu explained the two aspects of devotional service, where Mahaprabhu explained the nature of a person who is captivated to that process. Mahaprabhu explained the reason why this devotional service is not so easy is because unless and otherwise we are attached to Krishna, devotional service is not possible. And the second reason he is explaining that Krishna very rarely allows himself in somebody else's custody, and that is why Krishna Akarshani is considered as the sixth characteristics of pure devotional service, explained by Rupa Goswami Pad in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kleshagni and Subhada are the two primary characteristics manifested in the pure devotional service, which means unwanted things gets immediately cleansed and ultimate happiness gets nicely manifested. But the last characteristic that Rupa Goswami is explaining is about, it is very rare to attract Krishna to this process. Not that everybody who is performing bhakti can attract Krishna. Not that everybody who is performing devotional service will be able to get Krishna's attention. To get Krishna's attention is also a rarity. So, which is what Mahaprabhu explained. And in that same line, this particular verse is coming. So an intelligent person who understands the rarest nature of this devotional service does not get carried away by the different so-called achievements or distractions and steadfastly remain focused, even though it is a humble, simple life for him in devotional journey. So the first reflection is about the propensity or the intelligence that we utilize or we need to utilize to reject through some examples. Hanuman, when he was going to leap over the ocean to go to Lanka, when Hanuman leapt over, there are so many impediments that he faced. The impediments were twofolded. One in the form of a trouble, another in the form of a reward and appreciation. And the way Hanuman dealt with them is a very ideal example to explain what Mahaprabhu has explained, what Srila Prabhupada has explained in the purport. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness? Because my devotees are so satisfied to be engaged in my loving service. So Hanuman, when he was rewarded or he was given a welcome during his leap, that time also he politely, intelligently, diplomatically rejected that offer, stating that, "Thank you so much, my dear friend, to have offered me some resting time. But please note that I have an important mission to accomplish. Once I come back, after the mission is accomplished, I will consider." And when challenge came, Hanuman did not, even though he was capable, even though he was potential, having energy to fight and prove his energy, he very intelligently circumvented that challenge. When the Rakshasi wanted to swallow Hanuman, because "I am blessed to eat whatever that comes my way. So because you came my way and it is my breakfast time, you have to be my food today, my dear friend." Hanuman very intelligently handled that case rather than fighting with her and wasting his time and energy. When Lankini in the gate stopped Hanuman, so every moment that Hanuman had to cross over Lanka and come back, Hanuman was very single-pointedly focused in his mission, and hence he rejected both the reward as well as the challenge. Second example is about Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was confronted by Narada Muni, Narada Muni also did the same thing. He made some allurements as well as he gave some threat. Narada Muni said that you need not go and suffer. You are a son of a very royal king. You can go home, play with your friends, have fun-filled, wonderful moments. Why are you wasting your time? Second, he said that these are all not necessary for a person of your age. So he kind of allured, discouraged. Then he also threatened the place you are going to go, you are not going to get food. You are going to have ferocious animals. So why do you want to go there? Dhruva Maharaj, even though he was at that time not fully cognizant about Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrendered from a self-realization perspective, but his qualities were very highly appreciated because he was determined and convinced that somehow or other he wanted to see the Supreme Lord. And that determination and conviction gave him the necessary enabler to reject the offer of Narada Muni. Sumati Morarji, when Srila Prabhupada decided to go to America, Sumati Morarji, the owner of Jaladuta ship, she was actually very friendly and kind towards Srila Prabhupada. She gave all wonderful allurements. Swamiji, you be here. We will support you. We will facilitate you. Here there is Dham, Vrindavan. Why are you going to a foreign land? So she kind of persuaded and told Prabhupada why he need not go. She also gave some challenging statements that you are an old man, you don't have any friends there, you don't have any money, you are sick, so why do you have to go there? If you happen to see the Abhay Charan movie that Bhakti Charu Maharaj has shot, you can get to see the scene nicely. And there is also a interview of Sumati Morarji in Prabhupada's memory. So she is explaining that I tried everything possible to persuade Swamiji from going on with his mission. I was trying to stop him. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj in his movie has very nicely shot that Prabhupada had to walk back because she is so convinced that Prabhupada couldn't press it anymore because he was dependent on her favor. And she politely, intelligently, diplomatically, with kind love, denied that offer. So Prabhupada wasn't sure how to respond. So Srila Prabhupada went till the gate or the door of the room and once again turned back and told her, "You told me a few minutes before that you are like my daughter. You told me that you are very much concerned about me. So as a father, as your well-wisher, I am asking you for one last time. This is my last chance to go and fulfill the mission of my spiritual master. If I lose this chance, I am not sure in this life if I ever will be able to fulfill the orders of my spiritual master. So please allow me to go." And that's the statement that convinced Sumati Morarji, and she immediately agreed. We can go on and on and on in Krishna consciousness, where even though in this particular verse it is talking about achievements and accomplishments through the process of devotional journey, if we can extrapolate, we can also talk about pains as well as challenges. So a devotee does not only reject pleasures, he is also ready to embrace the so-called pain because he is intelligent enough and his focus is to glorify the Supreme Lord. So as the verse explains, because he is fully satisfied and self-realized, because he is pure devotee, he is not carried away by so-called temporary results, so-called temporary pleasure, as well as so-called temporary impediments. We can go on explaining about Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee by name Vasudev who had leprosy and who happened to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can go on and on and on. So my first reflection is, in the journey of Krishna consciousness, we are expected, we are encouraged, we are recommended, and we are inspired to simultaneously not get carried away by so-called temporary results, as well as we should not worry or deter or fear for the so-called temporary challenges. Recently I was in New Vrajamandala, Spain, and there His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj gave a very nice class on Prabhupada's disappearance day. At that time he mentioned a very interesting point, that for a devotee there is nothing called impediment. For him, both pleasure as well as the so-called challenge is an opportunity for him to come closer to Krishna. He converts everything as an opportunity. So hence, in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we should be only focused on converting everything that comes our way as an opportunity for us to realize, remember, glorify and preach about Krishna. This is my first reflection. The second reflection is, for doing that, we need to inculcate something called as Vairagya. If we have not got, we have not inculcated the Vairagya needed . Then we will not be able to translate the Shraddha to Prema. Because if we have to translate our Shraddha to Prema, we need to have Vairagya. I was discussing about this in my last class. We discussed about three different types of Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya, Smashana Vairagya, or Markat Vairagya. And how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj rejects Smashana Vairagya and Markat Vairagya, we discussed elaborately in the last class, so I just want to, you know, specifically drive a specific point. So for us, to inculcate the spirit of surrender and inculcate the spirit of focused devotional service, not getting allured by results, rewards, as well as so-called pain and punishments, we needed to have a special characteristics nature to be steadfastly focused in our endeavor. And that propensity, that nature is what Prabhupada is explaining in the purport referring to Bilva Mangala Thakura. A person with such a determination, a person with such a propensity, for that person, liberation stands before him with folded hands, ready to offer him all kinds of service. So the Vairagya is explained in a very interesting manner through an example. One day, one person went to a crockery shop. In the crockery shop, he happened to see a very nice crockery, a vessel or a crockery item. And he got so much attracted, he decided to buy them. So when he was enjoying and deciding to buy, suddenly the crockery started to speak. "My dear sir, do you like me? Am I attractive enough to you?" So this guy got a little shaken and wondering how come this is speaking. So the crockery further spoke and said, "My dear friend, do you want to know how I became like this?" So this guy was more curious and said that, "Why not? Please go ahead." The crockery said that, "I was actually a dirt. And I was not useful to anybody. I was just lying, meaningless, leading a useless life. One day somebody picked me up and took me to his home. And he poured some water on me and started to beat me, stamp on me, thrash me, and gave me so much of pain. I was screaming in pain that, 'Don't do this, don't do this.' I was internally screaming, but this guy had a deaf ear, didn't hear my pain. I thought my pain got over. The next day morning, he put me on a rotating wheel and kept on rotating, and I had my whole head spinning. I was wondering what's going on to me, but suddenly when I saw myself, dirt getting a wonderful form. So this guy gave a shape to me. I didn't expect that such a useless person could also take a very nice shape. So suddenly I developed some sense of arrogance and pride. Wow, that now I have got some beauty. Now I look beautiful. Like most of us, we naturally get that sense of accomplishment. See, now I am intelligent, I am educated, I am beautiful, I am rich, I am famous, I am strong, I am intelligent, I am knowledgeable. Suddenly when we get initiation, when we get second initiated, when we are giving Bhagavatam class, when somebody offers garlands to us, when we have followers listening to us, we suddenly start to think that we are some great, glorious person. So like that, I also was proud when I was getting a shave. The next day morning, to snub my pride off, this guy kept me in the hot, scorching sun whole day, as if to teach me a lesson for the pride that I had shown. And I started once again cry, "Please, please, don't put me into such a torture. Please save me." After a whole day of torture, then this guy took me back and started to paint me with some wonderful colors and gave some more beauty to me. Even though I remembered that I was proud and I was, you know, punished, but now I got more beauty than before, that how come a dirt got such a beauty? Huh? The first one was first initiation, this was second initiation probably. Now I am second initiated, I am you know, so and so great person. So I got little more pride, and once again snubbed me off. This guy baked me in an oven with a very high temperature, putting me through a very strenuous process. And like before, I once again started to cry and plead and beg and come on my knees and say, please excuse me. I will not do this again. And then he let me free. And when I completely realized of my mistake and surrendered, I got this shape and form that you are seeing, my dear sir. So in this journey of me from dirt to a crockery, whilst you may be captivated towards my crockery form and ready to buy and value me, there is a story behind, a phase of pain and pleasure that I had gone through. And the reflection here is, when we have to value, when we have to become Krishna conscious, when we have to become sincere devotee, we should learn to not get proud, not get carried away, neither get agitated and angry in pain as well as in pleasure. One devotee was telling me, Prabhuji, please don't call me an advanced devotee. I will start believing it. That is what is our status. When many of our friends and near and dear ones call us advanced devotee, senior devotee, nice devotee, we start to believe them. Start to agree that we have reached that stage. We fail to realize that we are just halfway through the process. We need to let our superior spiritual master to still work on us to get our final shape. So the second reflection is that every self-realized intelligent person will allow his own spiritual master, spiritual authority, to work on oneself so that he can transform from being a dirt to being a useful vessel. We need to become a patra, means vessel. We need to become an object. We need to become a personality useful enough for the pleasure of the Lord, not for any self-proclamation. Till that point in time we reach that stage, we should not get settled. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes, even if one of our senses get carried away, we have a problem. It is like when we are in the journey to go from Mumbai to Mayapur. Or Delhi to Vrindavan. Or any place of sense gratification to the place of self-realization. When we have boarded the flight or a train, when we have confirmed ticket, when we have boarding rights to travel, and when we are surrounded by like-minded friends, we should make sure that we don't get distracted during the transit. If we get distracted in transit and get carried away in shopping, in other sorts of distractions, we might lose the journey and may have to once again go through the endeavor. Or if somebody gets angry over somebody scolding over us, somebody distracting us, and we get down of the train and trying to respond such a scolding, then also we will lose the opportunity and miss the train. So the message, the reflection here is that we need to be determined not to get carried away by the intermediary results and remain focused on the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness, which is to please Krishna, be attached to Krishna and serve Krishna, rather than some profits and benefits and some short-term results which are part of this process. The third reflection is about, for us to accomplish this, you know, activity, for us to, you know, maintain such a stature, one important component that we need to constantly watch out, along with all the other components, is something called as desire. Mahaprabhu explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita in various places about burning desire, not just normal desire. Mahaprabhu says each and every one of us should have burning desire to the level that we are yearning for Krishna and nothing less than Krishna. And as Mahaprabhu explained in this chapter, text number 172, the desire is to please Krishna, desire is to love Krishna, rather than seeing what I will get from Krishna. So we are also, you know, offering our prayers and worship towards the Supreme Lord. But then all our offerings and worships are to get something from Krishna. Instead of we glorifying Krishna, we are interested in using Krishna. Instead of being a person to please the Supreme Lord, we are expecting how we will get pleased. So my third reflection is that for us to remain non-distracted to so-called byproducts, temporary results of this Krishna consciousness process, we should be developing, focusing, fine-tuning on our desires. So Shraddha to Prema, every stage or every quality that I have spoken about, but one quality that travels with us from Shraddha till Prema is the quality of desire. And every time our desire need to be go on becoming intense. And our desire need to be go on refining. So from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha to Bhajana Kriya, Bhajana Kriya to Anartha Nivritti, and so on and so forth till Prema, we need to constantly watch out. Is my desire getting better and better and better, refiner and, you know, cleaner and purer and non-adulterated? If we do not do that, then we will be classified as those one who misused their good fortune. There are many, many examples where good fortune were bestowed upon people, but they misused them. So if we, as practicing devotees, does get carried away by the distractions of devotional life, what is called as distractions of devotional life? Name, fame, position, followers, and so-called success, these are all called distractions of devotional life. Puja, labha, pratishtha, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, so long as we get carried away by these things, devotional life will not progress. That is why he is questioning Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj saying, Dushta Manaha, to me, Vaishnava ke, what type of Vaishnava are you if you are constantly thinking about wine and women? In the last week's discussion during discussing about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj disappearance day, we discussed this point. How Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was such a Vairagya personality, and how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj mentioned to all of his fellow members who tried to claim Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj's body. So the message here is that if, the third reflection is, if we get carried away by the temporary results, because when you preach, you are going to get the credit. You are going to have followers. You are going to become famous. You are going to have success. You are going to get position. And Srila Prabhupada says you are also going to be beautiful. And you are going to become knowledgeable. You are going to become scholarly. But these are all not the reasons why we are becoming devotees. We need to constantly look at our desires. Have I developed love? Have I developed attachment? Have I developed affinity towards Krishna for Krishna's pleasure? The biggest difference between gopis and normal devotees, Vrindavan Vasis over normal devotees, their only desire was how to please Krishna. When they used to worship Krishna, Krishna is not used to be comfortable. When they served Krishna as beloved, Krishna was satisfied. Krishna chose to be in Vrindavan, not because he wanted to be worshipped. He said that I am getting this everywhere. Please don't worship me. Please love me. He was mad after their love. And gopis also madly loved them. An interesting aspect is not because they were getting the pleasure. It is because Krishna needs to get the pleasure. Today is Rasa Purnima. Here in India, where the day, all the wonderful personalities, all the wonderful demigods, and great, great devotees, they are witnessing from the heavenly planets and from their own places this wonderful scene. Sri Rasa Mandala Jaya. Jaya Radha Shyam, Jaya Jaya Rasa Leela, Sarva Manoram. So they are witnessing this wonderful Rasa Leela. All these demigods, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, great, great personalities are wondering, what great fortune these village girls have done, that Krishna is mad after them. What devotion these guys would have done for them to be attracted, that Krishna is, you know, completely mad, completely got lost. As we discussed in the few verses before, they are so much mad that they fail to see. They close their eyes. The birds, you know, did not move. The birds stopped, you know, producing chirping sound. So these are all our opportunity. These are all the results. These are all the wonderful moments of Krishna consciousness. If we do not wait for this moment and get carried away, it is like good fortune misused. Why misused? Because today, as on today, when we are touching, feeling, talking, hearing, remembering Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, it is good fortune. But if you do not focus on the real crux of Krishna consciousness, it is misused. I will tell a very interesting example from the colloquial context. We happen to see devotees, being in the management, I get to see so many wonderful, funny scenarios. For the sake of initiation, for the sake of getting attention of spiritual master, devotees tell lies because they think that somehow I need to get attention. That word somehow is not for us to break the principles. Somehow means ready to put us through the process of waiting, enduring, and somewhere or other, we need to be prepared for complete dependency on the Lord's mercy rather than shortcuts. By hook or crook, only one thing is allowed: stealing Mahaprasadam offered after to Supreme Lord. Nothing else can be done by crook. Shortcut is okay for Mahaprasadam, that is also with the conditions apply. Otherwise, we are expected to pass through the stages of purification. And that's what gopis are trying to demonstrate, and that's what few people have lost. Like Brahmanas of Vrindavan versus gopis of Vrindavan. Brahmanas of Vrindavan misused their opportunity because they were interested in temporary results. Gopis of Vrindavan did not worry about the temporary results. They were interested in Krishna's pleasure. Ravana misused the opportunity when Lord Ram made an offer. Whereas Sugriva and Vanara Sena availed their opportunity and got Lord Ram's eternal association. Kauravas misused the opportunity when they were given an offer by the Supreme Lord. Vidura instructed. So many moments that Duryodhana was reminded, but they misused the opportunity. But Pandavas, they were ready to go through every pain. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunair tatra samagate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Shastra says that somebody is practicing Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada explains, as this shloka talks about, every possible good quality can automatically manifest in that person. But that's not the reason why he is practicing devotional life. He is practicing devotional life so that he can please Krishna, be attached to Krishna, love Krishna, and eventually win Krishna. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. On the contrary, how much ever good qualities you may have, if you are not properly situated, what is the value of those qualities? Hence, my third reflection is that we need to watch out for our desires and make sure, fine-tune these desires. And to fine-tune our desires, we don't have any qualification required, just have the desire. I can have utmost desire, and the desire is in itself. Being pure will take us forward. desire itself, being very clean and focused, will take us forward. That desire itself, being it very intense, will take us through these various other distractions. That is why, in the definition of bhakti, it is said, sarva upadhi vinirmuktam sat parakyena nirmalam rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhakti ruchyate. So the third reflection is about fine-tuning the desires and not to misuse the good fortune bestowed upon us. Finally, I'll end with this note. These gopis, when they were talking to the flute, gopis are only saying, we are ready to take how much ever janam, how much ever birth we needed to get the privilege that you got, my dear sir. We got the privilege of traveling, being with Radheshyam. But we did not. We are not blessed with that opportunity. So should we give up our life and become one like you so that Krishna carries us all over? So they were not going to be satisfied when Uddhava came and pacified, when Balaram came and pacified, when every possible opportunity they tried to pacify themselves by looking at tamal trees, black clouds, chakora birds, every possible ways, bees, wherever Radharani saw, she was trying to see Krishna, but she was constantly remembering him, not able to forget him. So there is only one lakshya, which is to get Krishna, and nothing less than that. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving them such a position and finally accepting the level of Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor, Dasa, 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 Anudas. So in our conversation today, we discussed three sets of reflections. These three sets of reflections help us to reiterate, remember, but how it is extremely important for us to neither give importance to the so-called successes nor give some importance to the impediment by giving attention, rather just focus, like the examples that we gave of Srila Prabhupada, of Dhruva Maharaj. We need to make sure that we stand out in their devotional life, because this is one rare opportunity for us. The second reflection that we discussed was about to get to that level of not get carried away. We discussed about the vairagya part, where three types of vairagya are there, of which the monkey renunciation as well as the crematorium renunciation is rejected, and utility is the principle is what is appreciated by our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So yukta vairagya need to be embraced, and with that vairagya we should put us ourselves through the process of purification, like the example of the crockery that I spoke. The third reflection we discussed was about fine-tuning the desire platform and seeing to that somehow or other we work on our desire in such an intense manner, as explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, developing a burning desire can take us from the level of Naradama to the level of Mahatma. Just that don't settle down for anything intermediary. Stay fixed, stay put to the ultimate desire that we are aiming. If the desire is intact, and with that desire, if the process is followed, Krishna may try to avoid giving himself to us so that he can preserve his precious moments only to special, unique devotees who wants to please Krishna and nothing else. So we discussed about how we should not misuse the good fortune that we are bestowed with, like the Brahmanas misused, rather their wives took advantage. Like Ravana misused, Vanara Sena took advantage. Kauravas misused, Pandavas took advantage. We should also be very prudent and not get carried away. So today is the last day of Kartik Vrata. I'm sure all of you must have performed this Kartik Vrata in a very intense manner. And on this day of Rasa Purnima, we fall at the feet of the disciples and followers of the followers of the followers and servants of gopis, which is our own dear spiritual masters, and beg for their mercy so that we can bring in smile in their face and they turn their face towards us, rather than we trying to prove a point for some temporary material or spiritual results. So we have a larger agenda, and this process is capable of giving us access to that agenda. What gopis enjoyed in Rasa Leela, what others, demigods, couldn't participate in that Rasa Leela, what mellow was offered in that Rasa Leela is still offered by this wonderful Sankirtan Yajna. That is why all the demigods who couldn't participate in Rasa Leela, Lord Shiva, who couldn't participate in Rasa Leela, Narada Muni, who couldn't participate in Rasa Leela and various other such personal moments, is participating in this Harinam Sankirtan. Shiva, Sukha, Narada, Preme, Gada, Gada. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu is being worshipped. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu is singing Harinam Sankirtan. So everybody is joining and participating and making Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So Rasa Purnima, whilst it is a wonderful moment to celebrate the Rasa dance, it is also an important moment for Gaudiya Vaishnavas to remember that for us, the dancing for the Harinam Sankirtan gives us the same amount of transformation and pleasure that the gopis derived with Radha Shyam Sundar. So, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, thanks to Gaur Nithai to have bestowed us with such a wonderful blessing. So, may we take advantage of this human form of life and eventually make it to our ultimate goal, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Prabhu, you are talking about that we should not get puffed up with the appreciations that we are getting. So how do we manage that, Prabhu? Sometimes I feel that it is kind of encouragement. It gives us encouragement if somebody appreciates us. Is that way of taking is correct, or how do we take it, Prabhu?
I'll give an example. Suppose, for example, in India, there are prestigious universities or colleges
like IIT and some prestigious institutions. These prestigious institutions, to get admissions, to get enrollment in such a prestigious institutions, is very, very difficult. Out of tens and thousands of people who appear for the examinations, only few of them are able to make it. So when you make it to that, when you got admission in such a college, say for example you got admission in IIT, or in, if you are talking about United States, if you got admissions in MIT, Yale, Harvard, Stanford, whatever that is, the day you got admission, you are allowed to celebrate. You can throw party, you can dance, you can say, yay, I made it. You can do everything that you want to do. But that is only done only for that day. What if you do for the rest of the 4 years or 5 years of your study over there? Oh, I am in Yale, I am in Stanford, I am in MIT, I am in IIT. If you go on dancing and do not focus on the study, do not focus on the purpose for which you got to go there, then we will be called fools. In Tamil, there is a very nice folk song. Nandavanathil or Andi, Avan Nalaru Madamai, Kuyavane Vendi, Konduvandan or Tondi, Adai Kutadi, Kutadi, Potudai Tandi. The meaning of this is, there was a beggar. He didn't have a vessel or something to go and beg alms. So he went to a pot maker and pleaded that pot maker, my dear sir, I'm such a poor beggar, I can't afford a vessel even to beg. If somebody gives me food, I don't have any container to hold anything that I will, you know, get from somebody. So can you please make a small container for me so that I can go and beg alms? That pot maker took 10 months because he was busy with other projects, and finally gave this container to him, a wooden container. What if this beggar, as soon as getting the container, taking it, jumping, dancing and break them? So the folk song explains, the beggar as us, jivas, and 10 months wait period to get that container as 10 months of staying in the mother's womb, and celebration and getting, being lost in the worldly enjoyment and not being responsible for getting this human form of life, as the enjoyment that the beggar had and broke that vessel and misused this human form of life. So these two examples explain that definitely you can be, you know, getting some encouragement, if at all that helps you. But don't dwell there. Please focus to move forward. Please work towards to serve more. Please work towards removing the residual anarthas. One devotee used to explain that if you have to be advancing in Krishna consciousness, we need to learn to be pessimistic on ourselves and optimistic on others. So the message here is that you are allowed to definitely feel confident and to an extent be happy, but don't dwell there. Otherwise, you will be like a foolish person. Even after making it to Stanford and MIT, to, you know, IITs, to such a prestigious place, you did not study and failed there. So it is like operation success, patient died. I came and been part of Gaudiya Vaishnava process, came so close to Krishna, but because I was reckless, I had to go back, punar mushiko bhava, come again to become a mouse. So hence, our journey should be that we need to always seek for examples of those men, those women, those devotees who remained focused both in pleasure
as well as pain, both in success as well as failure, both in happiness as well as distress, both in heat and cold. And that way we will be able to sail through these distractions with a very strong message that we are eventually going to have eternal life of Ananda. Once I get to that stage, Katha Ghanam Natyam Gamanam Apivamsi Priya Saki Chidanandam Jyotir Paramapi Tata Swadhyam Apicha. The moment you make it to the spiritual world, it's only fun, no more pain. So just stay focused for few more years. Once you get to Krishna, then you don't need to look back. Am I making sense?
So nicely explained, Prabhu. Very well, very well said, Prabhu. That you should take that as encouragement. That's not just be like very nicely explained about college student and being happy in there itself, and so that he will miss all the course study and he will not get success. A final achievement will not be there. He'll be stuck there itself. Yes, so nicely explained, Prabhu. Practically, very nicely, clearly understood. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so if there are no further comments.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. If there are no more questions, we can end the call here, Prabhuji, and all the Vaishnavas. Let's offer our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarobhyasya kripa sindubhya evaja patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnavrindi ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His Grace Ramagiridhari Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class and very nice answers, Prabhu. Hari Bol. Very grateful
Hare
to you.
Hare Krishna.